Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our 18th installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. Tonight, from what you've heard on that theme song music, we're playing Game of Thrones. So we're talking about Game of Thrones tonight and Orphan Black. So this should be a very exciting podcast. We've got a really lively crew of co-hosts. We were talking. We have this pre-banter before the show, and these guys are great. So we're going to have a lot of fun on this podcast tonight. Before we get to our hosts and talk about our topic of Orphan Black and Game of Thrones, I just want to make a few announcements. We're doing some crowdsourcing with two lovely women that are part of the Blurred community, and I really want to just amplify this and give a shout-out to them. I went ahead and did two feature stories on both on blackgirlnerds.com, so I just want to say once again, we have Leisha Dixon. She's a product manager in Maryland. She's launched a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo. And if you type in Blurred with Glass to vote for her, she's spreading the word about being a Blurred and seeking to raise funds to purchase Google Glass. So definitely support her. Go to blackgirlnerds.com. There's a feature link about her and Google Glass and the project that she's working on. Also, fellow BGN co-host Tatiana Christian, she is seeking donations for her GoFundMe campaign. She was recently accepted to Refactor U, which is a web development boot camp in Boulder, Colorado. She will be learning to code for 10 weeks, Monday through Friday from 9 to 6 p.m. So she really needs folks to rally up behind her so she can go to this great web development boot camp. So both ladies are featured on blackgirlnerds.com. And definitely support these great women that are making a difference in their communities. All right, so without further ado, I will go ahead and toss the virtual mic over. We've got great co-hosts tonight, Geek Soul Brothers on the line with us. We've got Hey! Henry from Geek Soul Brother. We've got Denzel from Black Chivalrous Nerd.
Hey, what's going on?
We've got Renee Renegade.
Hey, everybody.
On the line with us. Renee's also the creator of Blurred Chat in the Pit on Facebook. And we've got Marilyn, also known as Polly Math Chick.
Oh,
hey. Hey, Marilyn. Oh, Marilyn, are you on the line? Did we drop you?
Euler.
Marilyn,
yes, I got dropped. I'm back.
You got dropped. You're back. Okay. So I want to go ahead and let each of you guys introduce yourselves as well as do our social network shout-outs, any projects that you're working on, talk about it. So we'll start in the order of Henry from Geek Soul Brother, Black Chivalrous Nerd, Renee, and then Marilyn.
Well, Geek Soul Brother, you can hit me up at my blog, geeksoulbrother.com. I also do my podcast at night. Geek Soul Brother and the Nerdy Venoms. We do that on Tuesday night with my fellow co-host, the Nerdy Venoms. And we also do a podcast I started recently called Geek Soul Brother After Dark, where we tackle a little bit more of adult social issues, and it's a lot more mature show than Geek Soul Brother and Nerdy Venoms. Also, I do a show in the daytime on every now and then. I was doing it every day, but every now and then I do a show in daytime, Chilling with Geek Soul Brother. It's also on Block Talk Radio, so you guys can check that out. And you can find me Facebook and Twitter.
Well, I am, as Jamie said, the Black Shivers Nerd. I'm Denzel Lamar. I have a website, blackshiversnerd.com. You can also find me on blurrednation.com, also one of the contributors of their blog. And I am also on Twitter just as well. I'm at Shivers Nerd. I do a show that's normally on Fridays, but when I can, when the internet wants to cooperate with me. the time is either from 12 Eastern time or 1 p.m. Eastern time. All depends on when I wake up from working the third shift. And that's called The Blurred Out, where I talk everything from video games, comic books, some Naruto talk, movies, anything that comes to my head that's nerd-related, I talk about it. So, I think that's about it. Oh, and I'm also part of the Blurred Pit Hangout spot and all that fantasy good time that happens.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Renee. Do this really quick. I do blogging for Blurred Nation. I'm part of the blackgeeks.com. I run the Facebook group, Blurred Chat. We call it The Pit, thanks to Lisa1660. I also have Blurred, A Song of Ice and Fire, which is on Twitter, Blurred, A-S-O-I-A-F. We're going to do, like, a cool mashup of the books 4 and 5, and, like, we're going to try to get some newbies for book 1, if you guys haven't read book 1 of the Game of Thrones series. And you can find me at Twitter at EGOMUSA, which is Latin. So there you go. Okay, bye.
Okay, and I'm Marilyn, also known as Polymath Chick on Twitter. I am a contributor for Blurred Nation, and I'll be writing there on matters of health and wellness and other things like that. I'm sure if you have followed me on Twitter, I've gotten on everybody's nerves with various topics when it comes to health, and I will continue to do that on Blurred Nation. If you're in the Atlanta area, catch me at the Herb Shop in Fayetteville. I do consultations out of there, and that's my primary day job, and that's basically it. Oh, I'm also in the pit with everybody else, and we hang out there, and that's a lot of fun.
The Pit is a very fun place to be, guys, by the way. So you definitely need to check out Blurred in the Pit.
I want to say just one thing. Everyone's saying, I'm in the pit. I'll be in the pit. As the Spartacus fan in me is like, whenever I hear the pit, I'm like, that's where all the dregs and all the losers go. It's like, that's like a no-holds-bar area.
It's no-holds-bar.
There you go. That's true. That's true. We've got somebody on the line. I suspect I know who this is, but I'm going to go ahead and patch them in because they're going to be talking with us as well on the podcast. 305 area code, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. Hello.
You alert.
Okay. You might be listening in via Twitter. I thought you were somebody that was going to be calling in to co-host with us. Okay, so what we're going to do is talk about Orphan Black first for our first segment, and then Game of Thrones for our second segment. So I know some people might not participate in this portion of the segment, which is fine. And then there's the second segment that I know there's some folks that don't watch Game of Thrones that may not participate in the second segment. But we'll have fun all the way through. Starting with Orphan Black, my first question to you guys, and anyone can answer this, it's sort of the obvious question to ask. Who is your favorite clone and why?
Cosima. I like Cosima because she was a, I don't know, she just got this really awesome vibe about her, and she seems to be one of the more vulnerable of the clones, and she's just a smart chick. I really like that, and I, you know, I kind of relate to the crazy science thing that she's doing too.
Mm-hmm.
I love her glasses. Her glasses are pretty badass.
Yeah, I co-sign on Cosima. She's got badass glasses. She's got a badass mm-hmm. hairstyle. I like her nerdy quality, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I like the fact that she's the most layered character on the show, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I think there's a lot of subtext going on with Cosima that we have yet to discover, even when it boils down to her sexuality.
Okay.
So there's just a lot to her. And I'm concerned because, you know, she's sick right now. So I'm just like, don't mm-hmm. do that to me. Let her be okay. But, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Cosima's my favorite.
I have to go with Sarah just because she is able to just think on her feet. Like, she was able to, like, play a cop and get out of the hearing, and she's able to, like, walk around and just pick up on all these characters. And the fact that she's dealing with all of this and getting all this information, and she was able to play the hotel people and, you know, really get out of that situation, and just dealing with losing her daughter. Like, everything that she does is just kind of like she thinks on her feet. She's like a hustler. Like, everything she does is just like, okay, she can rock when anything comes her way. Like, I really like that about her.
That's true.
Mhm.
But then Allison, the scarf move, she kind of kind
of
crazy. I like that.
Allison's a trip, yeah.
I love Allison. I think Allison's my favorite. I think she's my favorite. I see, in my neighborhood, I see soccer moms every day, and I'm like, that's Allison. There's Allison over there.
That's an undercover Allison.
They're undercover, and I see the frustration that the character Allison has in her life. You know, she tries to keep it so normal and stuff like that. Mine is not even thinking about the whole clone issue, but, you know, just her trying to keep it all normal and stuff like that. Plus, I think she's adorable, although Cosima's hot.
Yeah, I think Allison, I like her to a good extent, and I also, especially when it came to the episode where she had to pretend to be Beth, Sarah, where she had to pretend to be her, and I really think how she kind of connected with Kira and everything, and she really seems to, like, she wants to give everything, and she kind of wants to be, you know, she wants to manage it all and do it all, but I also think because she's really vulnerable too at the same time and everything, and so that makes her pretty endearing and everything, where she seems like, you know, she played it hard and, you know, wanted to lead the group, and she was managing everything when Beth was gone, but at the same time, you see that she just really has a lot of need at the same time, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think I like her a lot, because she has this vulnerability underneath, and she tries to hide it. She tries to hide it with all the, you know, with all the planning and doing and little parties and cupcakes and all
exactly.
that. She tries to hide that side.
Can we talk about the awesomeness that is Helena, though?
Oh, my goodness. The craziness that is Helena.
Crazy insanity.
What is it about, Renee, what is it about Helena that you like?
She is just, she's the wild card. Like, she is just so, she's the only one that's real. Like, you can count on her to not be anything but sticking to the plan of I'm just going to be off the chain crazy. She knows that she is just on a mission to just be real with herself. Like, oh, you going to just pop up and tell me you're my mom? Nah, not having that one.
Exactly.
It doesn't fit in with the plan. Like, I have a plan. You're throwing it off. That's not going to work. Like, you got to go. Like, everything she does. But, see, I was confused when she had Kira come out the house. I was like, what's going on there? So that was weird to me. But other than that, Helena's just like, she makes the show more interesting because you don't know
mm-hmm.
what she's going to do. So you're like, mm-hmm. wait a second.
She's the monkey wrench and everything. It's like you never know what she's going to throw in there. Just when things are going smoothly, you know, Helena shows up.
And Helena got a lot of response from audiences because of the way she was as a clone, because of her behavior. And do you think that
mm-hmm.
because audiences had a very polarizing response to her, they either loved her or hated her. So do you suspect that she might come back in the form of another clone?
Mm. I don't know. I think
you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Melvin.
No, I was just going to say, I think she did become, to me at least, sympathetic or empathetic at one point once you kind of saw the struggle that she was going through herself and what, and just, you know, she'd been pretty much brainwashed and she was being used by this guy and, you know, mistreated. But at the same time, she was a really tough chick, you know, and she just really, and just like Renee said, she, had her plan and she was sticking to it. And I think that was something I can respect. But as far as her coming back, I don't know. I'm not even sure that she's actually gone.
Right.
I think that's a wild card for next season.
Because they still have to talk about Kira. Like, why was she cool? Like, if they're the two originals, if Sarah and Helena are the two originals, and then Kira didn't have any issues getting hit by the car, then maybe she's not really gone, too. Helena's not really gone from being, you know, what they want us to think is dead. So,
right.
Have a DNA.
I don't think so. I think she's gone.
That's what I was thinking, too. But I was thinking also more or so along the lines of maybe they'll create her into another clone, or maybe there's some sort of clone that's similar to Helena so we can still keep that crazy element to the
mm-hmm.
show, because she does keep it interesting.
Well, I think we're going to get a few different villains. Helena was on the storytelling level of basically the first villain,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was introduced to the story, first or second villain. And
mm-hmm.
They do something beautiful with the story that they do with other good stories on TV, is that they take a villain, then kind of turn into a hero, then maybe a
mm-hmm.
villain again, then a hero. You know, they keep that twist and that turn going with the character. And I think
mm-hmm.
you're right, Jamie. I think they're going to give us another character or two that we're going
mm-hmm.
to hate, and then we're going to love, and then we're going to hate again. And
mm-hmm.
it may be a clone. It may be a clone,
yeah.
or it may be somebody else.
I think the woman at the agency that showed up at the last episode, I forgot what her name was. What was her name?
Rachel.
Rachel, yeah. I think she might be our next great villain for the show because
yeah.
she's seeming like she's pulling the string somewhere and nobody really knows who she is or what she does and, you know, or what side she's playing, you know.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Renee had brought up Kira, and that led me to one of my questions here. Who do you suspect took Kira, and do you think that her DNA has some scientific significance? There's been some talk about her DNA, that it's like got some sort of special coding to it
mm-hmm.
because of her relation to Sarah. So do you guys suspect who that might be, or we're still kind of trying to figure that out.
I don't know.
Is anyone else thinking the foster mother?
It's possible. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not whatchamacallit. It's not the head of the scientist guy that's trying
to
get
all
the
clones together.
No.
Yeah. It's not him. Definitely they can't go that way. So, yeah, it could be it could be the foster mom. It could be Sarah's mom.
Yeah, I think the foster mom is, like, the main donor. And then, like, I don't know who the is, like, definitely her real mom. It's definitely, like, Sarah's and Helena's real mom. Because, like, mm-hmm. for them to pop up with her in that picture, like, who else would be the donor at this point? Like, they can't keep bringing in new characters. Like, they're going to have to just calm down on that. can't turn this into, like, too much. Like, I need you guys to keep this real. But, like, let's learn from the past. Boss, boss, boss. But,
oh, yeah. Like,
I know Geek Soul Brother kills me on this one. Like, if they turn this into some real craziness, like, I'm a protest, but.
you can only suspend disbelief so much.
Yeah, so I want to know who Kira's dad is. Like, that's so, like, because we know it's not, you know, our druggy guy, Mr.
Vic.
Vic. Yeah. What was it? What did you, Marilyn, didn't you tweet, like, he turned intervention into a verb?
Like, a verb? I got intervention.
Yeah, like, that was awesome. That was like one of the tweets of the year.
I'm just wondering how many more, like, fingers and, you know, body parts he's going to lose.
Right. Okay. He's trying. Leslie Mack on Twitter says, I think Mrs. S took Kara. I'm trying to think of Mrs. F.
See, I think Helena popped up and took her. Because I'm not with her being dead, man. Because she tried to take her before.
I don't know. It's hard to survive what she would have had to survive. I'm just saying.
You guys just want Helena to live. That's what
I need my villains in the show.
I need Helena. Helena's too much fun. Yeah, I think I really do just want her to be alive. I don't know, Mrs. S. That's
And Mrs. S is a mom, right? That's a foster mom.
Yeah,
they call her
mom.
Mrs. S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about the lady at the agency. Okay, that's somebody else. Yeah, the foster mom. I'm definitely down with that.
On Twitter, we had I had some folks tweet to me questions prior to us doing this podcast, and someone asked, "Do you think Art and Beth have something, or is he just passionate about his job?" So, sort of maybe there's some previous history between Beth and Art. That's why he's always so concerned about her whereabouts. Now Sarah it would be, but what do you guys think about that? Some subtext going on with their relationship?
Possible. I mean,
it
It seems intense enough, you know, his interest that it could be, but then again, you know, who knows? It might be because of the previous case, you know, whatever was going on with that, that they had, you know, in their partnership, but it's definitely possible.
He's weird.
He's always giving a side eye all the time. You notice that? Like, he's always got that side eye grunt. And I'm
he's
just like,
suspicious.
What? Yeah. Like,
he's
you
like
don't believe anybody?
Boyfriend.
I don't know
if they had sex or not or anything like that. I don't know if they were sexually involved or, you know, but he said they worked with each other for 3 years. They're partners for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely some level of trust there. And for him to be, to kind of cover her tracks when it came to her shooting that woman, there was a level of trust there. So I don't know if it was relationship to that point, but, you know, they did love each other on the friendship, partnership level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely seems to have her back. Like, I mean, he's suspicious of some of her activities, but I think he's also trying to cover her at the same time, and he just kind of really wants to know what's going on, you know?
Right.
It was another beautiful thing about kind of like how they twist the show that, you know, he snatched the money from her, and then you thought he was going to snatch it and leave, and he was like, no, I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to protect both of us, and you're gonna do what you got to do, and I'll give you money back. You know, and I was like, oh, he's okay. He's on the up and up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was so mad at him for that one, though. I was like, you're just going to, like, just basically, like, hold her, like, hostage. I was so ready for her to just be out, and I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
She was so, see, I like Sarah because she grew as a character, because in the beginning she was just, like, a hustler, like, I'm just going to get this money and leave.
Exactly.
Right. Get smarter and figure things out. Because in the beginning, like,
mm-hmm.
you're just going to leave all that money in the trunk. Like, I was mad. But then she got smarter
mm-hmm.
and smarter. So.
What are your thoughts about Cosima's sickness? Do you think she'll be cured, or will she suffer from it and possibly die? Some people suspect that maybe Delphine, because she's an immunologist, that she'll help her.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I certainly hope not. I hope it's, you know, something that we kind of learn from in the show that maybe contributes or informs the storyline later on. But I definitely hope that she stays alive as a character.
I do, too.
But,
she's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
She can't go.
She's going to die.
No!
Oh, haters.
Why do you say it like that? You're like, she's going to die. That's
she's going to... She's going to die, and she's also going to be in the lab, and they're going to find out why she died and stuff like that. And she's going to be on a cold slab table because that's
no.
how they're going to.
No.
That's how they're going to bring the drama. I know. I don't want to hear it either, but I'm saying it because that's how they're going
to
bring the drama up.
I think
yeah.
Delphine's going to save her. That's what I'm thinking. That's my theory.
I think so too.
That is so
well,
weird,
hope so,
though, that Delphine seems to be falling for her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Delphine or Cosima?
Delphine,
I think, is sexually confused. I think she's just sort
right.
of, yeah, she doesn't
really
know.
Because
yeah.
at first she was just, like, monitoring her, and now she actually seems like she has feelings, and it was like, that's
yeah.
what she has, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hence the reason why she should live, because that sort of potential love storyline should be able to develop. So we need Cosima to be alive
mm-hmm.
for that to happen.
Yeah.
Or
Cosima is
going to
get really sick and kill to death.
Or she could die, and Delphine is going to betray.
Okay. We'll try to kill her off.
I'm just
but
saying,
you know
it adds to the drama. It adds to the drama.
I think
it would be dramatic if she gets close to death. She doesn't have to actually die.
Yeah.
I will say this, like, though. The thing that I really do appreciate about the show is that when they put her, like, side by side, like, it doesn't come off cheap when she's doing her roles with herself. Because, like,
yeah.
we've all seen, like, the cheap sci-fi movies, like, or a majority of us have, where it's just, like,
mm-hmm.
that's the first green screen I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it does not kill the effect at all. Like, I'm so enwrapped in it. I'm like, I don't even notice that it's not,
exactly.
You know,
that's a good
they
point.
Do a good
I mean,
job
I think
the production.
That's Emmy-worthy right there. Even, like, even Tatiana Maslany, I keep saying that, you know, I want to see her at least get a nod, you know, come Emmy season and everything, because that's a definitely excellent portrayal that she's done.
Well, didn't she win? She won some award recently. Somebody had tweeted to me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
She won, like, the writers, not writers, oh, I forgot. Yeah, she's
was
just,
it,
she
like,
just
Screen
won
Actors
a couple
Guild or
movies.
Something?
Yeah, that was the ramp-up to, that's how, like, Jennifer Hudson started winning all her awards, too, like, it's like the ramp of like all these like smaller award
mm-hmm.
shows. Like you start getting all those, and then it's like oh, so the smaller ones notice her. It's like winning
mm-hmm.
that Cane and all that stuff. So it's like fingers crossed they're gonna notice her. So.
Yeah.
Cause she and like we need to like bring Black Twitter onto this. Like
get, yeah, I know, right?
Like in Blur Chat, like what Black Twitter can do. Like we're gonna raise her up. Like.
Award.
Okay, is that what she won?
Critics' Choice? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was that.
Well deserved, well deserved. On Twitter, just to be able to capture what some folks are saying, Sharif Jackson says that his favorite clone is Helena, mysterious, misguided, sense of honor, overall badass. I concur.
True.
Don Gibson says to at Geek Soul Brother, why are you always trying to bury Cosima? Damn.
I know. Trying to kill Cosima.
Trying to kill her. Let me ask
you know what's the beautiful thing about the show? It's kind of like the same aspect of Doctor Who, that you can always get a different doctor. Mm-hmm. With this show, you can have as many clones as you want.
True. That's
right?
Why I think there will be another version of Helena if she is in fact dead. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking may happen. Yeah.
They could keep doing as many. As long as Tatiana Maslany doesn't go insane playing all these characters.
I know. That girl, she's hustling on that show.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's got to be exhausted by the end of the day. Like, really?
Yeah.
Playing all these characters?
That's all the time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
What's happening?
I was just going to say, you know, the idea that you can always get a different doctor, and some of you may know that I'm still reeling from the exit of my doctor. You know, but you can always get a different doctor, but it's never the same. You know, you like who you like, and same thing with the clones. If they kill off Cosima, even if they replace her with another awesome character, it's still not Cosima. It's not the same.
Right. Well, this kind of leads me to my next question about, you know, Tatiana Maslany playing all these characters. Do you suspect that in the Orphan Black universe that there are other clones and that they're going to do another storyline about other characters that are clones? Or is it just going to be a sample of clones that's just Sarah and Beth?
You mean other clones like Sarah and them, or an entirely different clone?
Other people on the show that are also clones.
Completely different set of DNA from Sarah and them.
Exactly.
It's a possibility, but it might make it confusing if they bring that into this storyline. You know, I mean, it might be what's the word I'm looking for, hinted at, or it might be spoken of in the show, but as far as like introducing new characters that are clones, and now we've got this whole different set of clones, I don't know how they would pull that off without making it exhausting for the watchers.
Or the viewers. For the viewers. Yeah, it would be
exactly.
But if they do it, I think they might start introducing that somewhere in the third season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think we have to see how this story arc unfolds with Sarah dealing with Dr. Leakey and you know, dealing with all the others and all the reveals that they had in like the last two episodes of this season.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to deal with all of that in the next season, which I can't wait. You guys that haven't been watching Orphan Black, all you brothers and sisters out there that love friggin' sci-fi and stuff, you need to get up on this. And Jamie and everybody else have been saying it forever that you guys better get up on this show because it's fantastic. The acting and the concept itself and the twists and turns and the you know, surprising, you know, the surprise moments that come out. You just got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All you black girl nerds out there.
I was totally floored. I was really pleasantly surprised because after Doctor Who, my usual spiel is turn off the TV and go to bed or do something else with my time. And I just happened upon, you know, staying up an extra hour and watching Orphan Black just on a whim. And it drew me in. It's completely, you know, an excellent show. I think I was after the first episode that it came on after Doctor Who. It was actually Twitter when I had actually already changed the channel or turned it off or whatever, and then I saw Twitter blowing up, like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And I said, okay, well, let me see what's going on. And I was hooked from there, but it's really an excellent show. Yep, right.
Who do you guys think is the original?
I don't think they've showed the original yet. I don't think anybody's the original yet.
Do you
think
it's
the original? I think the original is sitting up in some lab. With some tubes sticking out of her and some, you know, tank of water, you know, tank of amniotic fluid or something like that. I think the original's there. Or or the original is gone, you know. The original, not necessarily doesn't exist, but doesn't exist anymore. And when they end up breaking into somewhere and finding the original or something like that, I think that it'll just be a petri dish with some, you know, with some cells in it. And that's all that we'll have seen, which will be sad. That'll be sad.
Like what some remains in formaldehyde or something.
Yeah.
What type of matrix thinking is that? Thinking diesel running everything in cars and wires and whatnot? What type of matrix is this?
I don't know. It's always cliche, you know. The hero works and they try to find the answers. They find the answers and then they end up in some lab looking at some tank with somebody with tubes sticking out of them. They're like, "Oh, is that it?"
Oh wait. Or you mean like a like an avatar? Where... So he's saying that the original is Jake Sellers.
That's it.
Oh my gosh.
That's it. That's exactly.
So,
no, I don't know. I don't think there's him.
I mean, well, and I guess it's an obvious thing to think of because, you know, she's sort of the main character. She's the protagonist. But I just kind of always thought it would be Sarah because she's the only clone with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought because of that sort of social connection that is the reason why she could be the original. But, I mean, again, that could be just obvious to think that. And maybe you're right, Dee Silver. Maybe, you know, the original is some sort of, you know, thing stuffed in a somewhere and we don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I kind of think that maybe it's Sarah.
I think it's hard to be Sarah because we kind of know where Sarah came from. I don't want to spoil it, but we kind of know the background of where Sarah came from and her relationship with Helena.
We don't know where she came from as much because even though we know that they had the surrogate, we still don't know who the donor was. Even though we, like, speculate, we don't know fully because Helena ruined our big reveal. So,
I'm definitely on Team Sarah. I think she's probably the origin. I'm also kind of, you know, just on a whim here. I keep forgetting her name, the lady at the agency and everything. She kind of presented. Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, it might be her, but we don't know enough about her yet. But apart from it, the possibility of that and, you know, Geek Soul Brothers imagery there, I'm thinking Sarah.
Well, so far consensus on Twitter is Sarah, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of the tweets are saying Sarah. Another person, Catalina Bird, said, Sarah, that's why she can have kids. That's what I say.
Exactly. But, me too.
But see, they could have kidnapped her and put the baby in her, too. Like, we don't know what kind of stuff they've been doing. Like, they've been watching them while they sleep at night. Like, they could just go completely jumping the shark left on us. Like, they could do anything with the show, and we'd be like, yes, give us more. Like, it's that good. So.
Well, here's a question I got. Do you think that Sarah was able to have a kid for the same reason that her egg, when it was fertilized, had split into Sarah and, and Helena? Do you think those are connected where she's an anomaly anyway?
Right.
Hmm. Possibly.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so much to
That's
go.
Possible.
Oh. And then it's like, they're probably listening to this or like, it'll come out somewhere like, are these people serious? Like, we didn't go this far into Are they for real? Because we're like breaking it down. That's what happens though. Like, it gets so into it, and then it's like, nah, they're just sitting in the church and it's a white light. And I'm like, no.
Oh, you're talking about Lost again.
Yes. Like, I will come.
Let's not talk
you.
About the worst season finale of a TV show in TV history, please.
Oh, Lost?
Yes.
Lost.
Like, if I ever finally
like, no closure whatsoever.
Like, they better do this show right. Like, they're doing so good so far. Like, Like, this is the problem I have. Like, I love the show, but, like, all this, like, breakdown in the genetics and splitting eggs and stuff, I'm like, oh, we're doing it again, guys. Like, what does the numbers mean? We're pushing buttons. Like, it scares me because it's like we get all excited and then it's like let down. Like, like, that's what scares me the most about it. Like,
I feel like they've handled the story so well that I think that they've outlined a good story arc for now. Like, this show could easily go 5 seasons. And I think that this story arc that we're in now, that we've kind of, you know, reached the first big, you know, the first big reveals and stuff like that, I think that I think that they've laid that out pretty well. I have a feeling that they've outlined it pretty well. And that we'll at least have closure with this story arc. Now, will the show itself just end on a high note? I don't know. You know, you might be right, Renee. They might start to get into all the science just to hide, you know, their lack of insight into closure. But I have a feeling that they just seem to be masters of, you know, good storytelling, dealing with these clones and dealing with characterization and interaction and taking one character out, putting another in. They're not amateurs. I can tell you that.
Or they could go George R. R. Martin and start killing everybody.
Right.
Well, someone's hunting down and killing the clones one by one, so they might be successful at it.
Yeah. I think my favorite part, though, was like when they were like, I think it was the finale where they were like going around saying, sign this, sign this, sign this, sign this. And I was like, don't sign those contracts.
Don't sign it.
I was like, don't do it. I'm like, you guys need to listen to this. Yeah. And I'm like, I know it's kind of like signing away rights. I know it's something crazy.
You
and
knew it was too
like,
easy.
It's a patent.
Yeah.
I knew it was something.
Yeah.
Like, they own you guys. Like,
they're all going to end up in cryo tanks now.
Well, here's my thing, though. Here's my thing. If they didn't have any rights in the first place, why did they need to sign something? You know?
Just to cover their butts.
Just to cover themselves,
you're
the lawyer.
Always
I'm
number one. Like,
and ownership. They own those clothes.
Renee's going to be clone lawyer when clones need some representation.
Those clones are copywritten and patented, so they're owned. So that's really what the contract's about.
Yeah, they should have just kidnapped them. Like, who's gonna really miss you at this point? Like, you will be monitored by your family, so it's like you just come up missing. You come up missing. Like, that was really interesting, that part of it. Like,
I know that killed me at the end when it turned out that he really was monitoring her.
I wanted to ask that. This will be the last question before we get over to Game of Thrones. I wanted to ask about the monitors. You know, Paul, he sort of compromised his safety in exchange for his love now for Sarah. Apparently he's fallen in love with her. What do you think about the monitor? What do you think we're going to learn more about, you know, what they're up to? And I guess Mrs. S now monitor. What are your thoughts about that storyline?
The fact that Alice's husband, she says that they've been together since high school, that he's been, I mean, has he been her monitor since high school, or did they somehow turn him later on down the line and make him a monitor or something? So that is, I think there's a lot of questions there about the monitors, and I hope that we do get a lot more answered and see more about them.
Yeah, that might have been a plot hole. they were together since high school, but now, you know, he's a monitor. That doesn't make sense. Or else, like you say, maybe he got tired of Allison. he certainly voiced his opinion. He might have gotten tired of the girl after a while. I feel so bad for Allison. I feel bad for a child.
Now, do you think that Mrs. S was Sarah's monitor?
I think so.
I think so.
She was the pick, right? That that the surrogate mom had on her.
Well, now the thing is, Leakey, Dr. Leakey had lost track of Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
didn't know about Sarah, so is Mrs. S the monitor of another organization?
Now we're getting deep.
I think, see, my thoughts on Mrs. S is that maybe she was set up to be the monitor, and she had a change of heart because at one point, I think it was maybe episode 7, where she said, I'll protect Kira just like I protected you and kept you hidden and things like that, is what she told who she thought was Sarah when Allison was pretending to be Sarah. And so I think maybe that's been my way of thinking about Mrs. S, is that maybe originally that was supposed to be her role, but she decided that she didn't want to do it anymore and kind of became her protector.
That's kind of what's happening with Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. He was sort of set up to become a monitor. So makes you wonder, I mean, what's the history behind that? I mean, between Allison's husband, I guess he was a monitor since they met. Is it something where they've been monitoring and assigned to do that with these clones for an extended period of time? Or is it something where they've been set up and, you know, it's a blackmail sort of situation involved? I don't know. There's a lot of questions behind that.
That's true. They've been, the clones that they've been monitoring, they've been monitoring since birth, probably. So it would make sense now that Allison's husband might have been monitoring since then, since high school. They aren't that old, right? They're Tatiana Maslany's not even 30 yet.
Oh, really? She's that young?
I think she's like 28.
She's amazing. That's all I gotta say.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
She is
amazing.
She is.
Well, we are going to go ahead and shift over to Game of Thrones. And Denzel, you can talk to us now.
Sorry.
Orphan
Black, forget that show. Game of Thrones, man.
Listen, while I was listening to y'all, I was playing some Arkham City, so I was enjoying my time.
So we did get some questions from Twitter before the show. One of the questions was, what would be the worst ending for Game of Thrones? Assuming
Joffrey not dying.
Books. Yeah, assuming you haven't read the books.
I think
Arya dies.
Everybody dies. That would be worse.
That's the one. That could be one ending, or two. King or Joffrey doesn't die, and he becomes the one true king.
Oh my god! Yeah, that would be the worst ending.
That would be terrible. I think also if they took Tyrion out of the picture completely, that would be terrible.
That would be, because he's so lovable and he's so crafty. Like, he knows more about what's going on between, you know, the kingdoms, and he's very strategic.
Mm-hmm.
He's the actually the smartest character on that show. So if they opt him, then I think the whole universe would collapse.
I think things would completely untangle because Tyrion, not even talking about the fact that I've read into the books that are still to come, I want to see, you know, if he comes, if where the character goes. And I think he has a big role to play right straight to the end. And so if he ended up being gone anytime, you know, soon, that would be. Because, you know, in the show, they're making a lot of changes from the book. Some characters in the books that aren't even dead yet have been killed in the show. exactly. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of dynamic change in the show itself. So, and that's kind of cool because even as someone who's read the book, the show still keeps you on your toes at the same time.
Someone else from Twitter asked, I hope I'm pronouncing this name right because I haven't read the book, so I don't know the correct pronunciation of some of these names, but Oberyn Martell, also known as the Red Viper. Will appear in season 4. Any opinions on the new cast member, Pedro Pascal, that's been cast, or would you have wanted someone else?
Not sexy enough. Like, the guy that they describe in the book is, like, sexy. Like, all the Martells
really?
Are, like, copper and, like, sexy and this and like this guy.
Super hot.
Like, he didn't look like
math.
Regular.
Like I don't know him. I'm sure he would say the same thing about me. So sorry, but I apologize. You've made it in your career. This is a great move for you, but it just it didn't translate to me from the books. So I'm sorry if everybody else finds him to be like the bee's knees, but no, it didn't do it for me as a trans. Like no.
And you know what they say about, you know, one thing I guess I should say that they say about the Martells is that they're all like these really kind of fiery people, you know, the people from Dorne and things like that. And he just doesn't seem to exude that same sense of like heat, you know, that you would expect from them. But like I said, it all depends on how he plays the role. I didn't necessarily, the guy who's playing, what's the sellsword's name? I'm forgetting his name now. The hot one with Daenerys. With the Khaleesi, her
Oh yeah, that guy. Oh gosh, what was his name? I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
the hot one.
I forgot his name.
Oh gosh, really?
Denzel, you're all about Khaleesi. What's her her little muse's name? That guy that is her servant's
name.
I'm googling it now. When in doubt,
name
Google.
What did I say? You guys have a Google degree.
But yeah, but he, I didn't necessarily love the way that he was characterized in the show because he's supposed to have like this blue beard and all these other things. And I was really looking for how dramatic that would be, but to completely cut that out. And so I was a little disheartened initially, but he grew on me mainly because he's hot. But apart from that, you know, it depends on how he actually plays the role, you know.
You're talking about Jorah?
I'm sorry?
You're talking about
Jorah? No, not Jorah, Mormont. Not Jorah. Not Mormont. The sellsword, the one who cut off the other guy's head is the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That guy. Okay, that guy. Yeah, he's hot, too. I thought Jorah was hot for an old guy.
He is. Exactly.
But, I mean, my favorite, everybody knows it on Twitter, is Jon Snow. I love him, and I was very mad, disappointed with Ygritte, whatever, how you ever pronounce her name. I don't like her, by the way. I didn't even like her before she hooked up with Jon Snow, but she's even on my, she's on my hit list now that she, you know, nearly killed him. So,
that's the Snow girl, the redheaded girl or whatever.
Yeah, the bony red chick. Yeah.
Homegirl started, she loaded him up with them arrows. I was like, dang.
I know. And I was so mad because he saved her life. Like, man. That's a good guy.
But that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
He was a wildling. And she told him, she said, you know, he didn't believe her. She won't kill you. But he said, I know you won't hurt me. He was wrong. She won't kill you, but she'll hurt you. And she put those arrows in him, and I don't know. I think she was okay as Ygritte, but I don't know. She could have been a little bit more fiery.
Tristan Tarwater says it's Dario Naharis. That's the guy.
Dario Naharis.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Dario. Yeah. Thoughts and comments about the Red Wedding. I know Marilyn, you've read the books. Renee, you've read the books. Did it shock you? Or was it underwhelming?
I'll say this. Like, I knew it was coming, so it wasn't as shocking, but it was cut down a lot.
Yes.
It was a lot longer in the books. Like, if they had done it as long as it was in the books, like, y'all couldn't, it would have just, on the screen, it would have just been, like, a complete bloodbath. Like,
yeah.
I think that's had to cut it down because it was terrible in the books. Like, it hurt your feelings, like, badly. Like,
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. I do think that for television, they carried it well enough. You know, but yeah, it was definitely really dramatic. And I was saying earlier, and I have to just have it on record that the character of, what's her name? I'm forgetting her name now, too. John, Rob's wife. What's her name again?
Jane.
Oh, baby yeah. girl. Oh, man.
yeah.
When that, yeah, I saw that very wedding, wrong. I was like, no. When he started going after her, I was like, no, not her.
No.
and she got yeah. shanked. I was like, dang.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shanked her.
That was
a style.
Yes.
yeah.
I think they did it right with Rob's mom, though.
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I was that was, oh, I was definitely, I was like, no,
I
please.
I couldn't take it.
I was like, fade to black, do something, fade to black.
yeah, her emotions, like, he played the heck out of that scene, like,
yeah.
he did it.
My hands were wrapped around my neck, like, I nearly suffocated myself when I saw that scene mm-hmm. with Lady Stark. I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. But,
oh
like, they killed Mama Stark. No, not Mama. No.
I think the thing that got me with Catelyn in the end is how she kind of just gave into it. You know what I mean? She was just like, okay, well, take me too. There was no point. She just, oh, it was like, oh,
yeah,
well, you're taking everything now.
It looked like she accepted it because it's like in her eyes, she has
everybody's dead.
Like her son, mm-hmm. like her baby boys are done. She just
mm-hmm.
lost her oldest son.
Right.
Her she don't know about the statuses of her daughter, so she's
mm-hmm.
thinking that they're done.
Right.
So she's just like, man, I'm done.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's true.
Yeah, that's it. Husband's gone,
yeah,
children are gone. And
like, her desperation came through the screen. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a different portrayal than the book, but, like, her emotions in that scene were, like, right on. Like,
yeah.
they were on it.
Killed it.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, well, first of all, going back to Lady Stark, we didn't really see a lot of Littlefinger this season. He was kind of quiet, so you
mm-hmm.
know that's his boo, Lady Stark.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts about Littlefinger? Do you think that this season he's going to be up to some new tricks?
Well, you know, the thing with this particular, like, let's say if you parallel the season to the books, the next book or the next season, I should say, kind of it runs parallel. You know, like there's at one point if you I don't know how far you read, Renee, but you know, at one point all the characters, the different points of views are kind of like split. So the show is kind of like running parallel to each other. So Littlefinger is up to whatever he's doing. We're just kind of like not seeing it all right now.
Okay.
Oh. These characters, yeah. you know, so I'm thinking the next season they're going to kind of bring it in, and you'll kind of, it'll be the same timeline, but you just get to see different point of views and everything. So that's something to expect there. I hope I didn't ruin anything.
Well, no. I mean, he's so
mm-hmm.
crafty. I was wondering, like, what is he up to? And it's
mm-hmm.
going to be interesting to see now that Lady Stark is gone what his plan of action is next.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's your favorite character from Game of Thrones and why?
Tyrion. Well, you know what? I'm caught between Tyrion and Daenerys and Khaleesi and everything. I love Tyrion just because he's like his mind and everything. I just love to see how, you know, he's a chess player. You know, he thinks about everything. He's always thinking, and despite whatever kind of adversity is going on around him, despite everything that's been done to him, the way he was raised, you know, the kind of taunting and all those other things that he's had to endure, he, you know, he's still, I think all of that experience has really informed his life, the way that he treats people and the way that he, you know, kind of like in the first season, he said that, you know, what was it, he has a soft spot for cripples and broken things or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that he really does, you know, it's that life experience that he's had that's made him such a, you know, a complete person and everything. And just looking at his brother and sister, you see how kind of, you know, degenerate they are, you know, just because they, you know, had such a, they, you know, it's like that whole Lannister life that they've had. And even though he's kind of like a Lannister, but not, he's kind of like that,
yeah.
you know, Yeah, you know, he's got the benefit of, like, you know, the money of the Lannisters, but he doesn't have that respect or the name. You know, his father can't even stand to look at him for the most part. And he's, you know, I think just the way that he pulls himself through all that adversity, and he's really vulnerable at the same time, it makes Tyrion a great character. And then Khaleesi, I think to see her grow, you know, she goes from this little naive girl who's kind of like under her brother's thumb, you know, and being sold and all these other things, that, you know, life was just kind of happening to her, you know, and she didn't have an active role in anything that was going on in her life. And to see her go from that, you know, and just become what she is and learn and become so savvy is really kind of a great thing to watch. And I'm, you know, just so that I really like that about her. She's really badass now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say my two favorite people are, of course, Khaleesi.
I mean, talk about her all the time on Twitter. Continue.
I mean, come on, she's a lot of
the boys.
But I definitely like her. I fell in love with her, during season one. It was the one episode of season one when her brother started talking about he wanted his crown and everything. And she was like, help me or something. And he dies, and she goes, real dragons will be burned by fire.
Exactly.
And falls to the ground. I was like, oh my gosh. So bad.
That was the moment.
Yeah, that's the moment for me. And then, but yeah, like just her growth as a character, that she was this quiet, shy person for herself, and then all of a sudden she's this bad chick that you don't really want to mess with. And my other favorite person is, this might be a shock, but Tywin Lannister, Daddy Lannister. I like Tywin, you know, because he's seen a lot of stuff go down, so he's like, listen, I know what's going on, I know what to do, you know, just calm down, I got everything under control. And if you talk out the side of your neck, I will get you handled with, as the one scene with Joffrey. Oh man. When Joffrey started getting on Tywin, I was like, oh boy. Somebody help that boy. Tywin basically told him, listen, put him to bed before I make him go to bed.
That was so funny, but he's like, I'm not tired.
How are we giving the look like I said go to bed?
Renee, how about you? Who's your favorite character?
I think my favorite character is Littlefinger, and it's because of what happens in the later books. So, but for the TV show, definitely Tyrion. He's great in the TV show. And yeah, so like for the TV, that I'll leave it at that. Yeah, he's definitely like in the books too. Like his descriptions and like the things he's been through, and like he just jumps off the page. Like he's like, smart and conniving, and like they downplay what he's been through, and like Arya, the things Arya goes through in the books, like like if you read books 4 and 5, like I'm telling y'all, like Arya, she's so dope. Like everybody's like, oh my god, I can't believe she like stabbed the guy in season 3, and this is like, they cut out her scenes. Like she has been so dope in the books, and they cut her scenes out. Like this little girl was a little girl. They cast her older, and in the book she is so just off the chain. Like she lost her dad, separated from her family, and she's surviving, and just she has so much heart. And they don't really show her like that in the TV show. Like Arya's just amazing.
Yeah, if they characterize Arya, and she's still, you know, I have to pick my top two, but I definitely think if I chose three, Arya would be definitely that third favorite, because she is, she's amazing. She's definitely, especially thinking from the book's perspective, even the age that she is in the show is still a lot for her to have to deal with on her own, and the fact that she survives it, and she's cunning, and she, you know, is fearless, basically, you know. It really, she's an impressive character for sure.
Geek Soul Brother, do you have a favorite?
Well, I'm glad I didn't see this past season. I had finished watching season two, but I'm glad you guys said that Arya survived, because she's my favorite. I like her as much as I like Tyrion Lannister, because, like you said, Marilyn, she's such a survivor. She saw her father die, and, you know, instead of just falling apart, she that survival instinct kicked in, and, you know, due to a couple people helping her, she was able to survive that tragedy. And I'm curious to see, I always love to see kids that can kind of handle themselves in TV and movies and stuff like that. And I'm just curious to see how she turns out. And like Renegade said, you know, if she does so great in books 3 and 4, then I'm looking forward to seeing her, you know, how she progresses and grows in on HBO, you know, in the TV series and stuff like that. I just want to mention for you guys that like Tyrion, I mentioned before on with Jamie on the podcast before that Peter Dinklage did a show called Threshold. It's a sci-fi show. If you guys want to check that out, it's 2005 series. And he played basically the same guy, just a smart, suave, you know, getting all the ladies type guy. But it was in present-day time, and they were looking for aliens. So if you want to watch, if you want to check out Threshold. It's not that great. It's just, you know, it's just something to see Peter Dinklage in if you like him as an actor.
Cool.
Yeah.
He's good at playing those very charismatic kind of roles. And my favorite character is definitely Tyrion Lannister. Like Marilyn mentioned, he's different from the other Lannisters. It's almost like he doesn't have that same evil gene that they all carry, and he's more of the redeeming characters. I mean, he has his flaws, but there's some redemptive qualities about him that I really like and admire. And I like Jon Snow because he's hot, and I'm very superficial when it comes to that.
That's ironic.
No, but
that's ironic.
What else is new?
No, I like. He's another redeeming character, and you know he's an orphan essentially, and he's different. Amber J mentioned on Twitter, which I totally agree with. He's an outcast, and I'm also drawn to that aspect of his character. So I like Jon Snow, and then I like Khaleesi. I mean, she's just badass all around. I love movies and TV shows where women are just, you know, they kick butt, they lead, they have a take no prisoners kind of attitude. So I really love Khaleesi. So those are my three favorite. I can't really choose one.
Oh, Jamar on Twitter, I think I agree with his answer also. He said the ones who've done nude scenes, that's pretty much his favorite character.
Wow.
Oh, and you know, just like with Arya, another thing with her is she's such a pervasively, like, awesome character that through the books and everything, even though it's not going to show that, I guess, the points of view are shown differently in the show. She's the only one who, in every single book, her point of view is used and everything. Because, like, in one of the books, I think it was A Feast for Crows and everything, you know, they completely cut out some of the characters and they only showed one set. And then in the next book, they picked back up on the other characters. Arya's the only one whose point of view was used throughout the entire series of the books. So she definitely, you know, has a lot of draw there.
What are your thoughts about with Arya and, gosh, how do you pronounce his name? Is it Jaqen, the assassin guy? He wasn't really featured much this past season. Jaqen, yeah. Do you think that she's going to dump the Hound and and form her partnership with Jaqen in season 4?
Oh, you mean the dude that had the multiple faces?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
There's a rumor about that.
Uh-oh. What's the rumor?
I'm sorry?
There's a rumor that, like, in the books, like, Arya, like, does not go back with him, but, like, there's a rumor that they are bringing her storyline back with him. So, yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah, that's Marilyn, that was you?
Yes. No.
Yeah, like, they're cutting out the House of Many Faces, apparently.
They're cutting it out?
Apparently, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what we're discussing with the Blurred or the Song of Ice and Fire. Like, people, like, are reading, like, people in the group are, like, they read the news stories, and apparently, like, that's one of the rumors, which is, I guess, it's too hard to do, which is, like, no. Like, you have to do that, but.
No, they have to do that.
Yeah. Like, you guys need to see that happen. Like, please. Like, you really do.
If they cut that out, I would be so heartbroken because I think that, that, you know, that's the story. It really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hope that's a rumor. Who do you guys think is the? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Henry.
Oh, I was just going to ask real quick. How do you think that this season compared to season two, or you know, the previous seasons?
Seems like each season gets better and better.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, one seems to trump the other. There wasn't any. The only thing about this show that slows things down for me is King Stannis, his storyline. I don't know. You guys that read the books, is his storyline as interesting in the books as it is on the show? Because I don't know without King Stannis.
No,
Stannis is boring everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they had to give him Melisandre, because he's just black.
Yeah. And
so,
that's his character, I think. You know, he kind of he's, I don't know. I think there's some good points to that. Like, Davos Seaworth loves him to death because he thinks he's so honorable and all those other things. But I think Stannis is like one of those, what's the word I'm looking for? He's like too by the book, and he just makes it makes him uninteresting and all that because he wants to do everything exactly the way that it's supposed to be done, and he doesn't know how to adapt, you know.
Yeah,
he doesn't
Stannis
know how to do that very well.
Stannis just, he doesn't have the charisma at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they featured him more this season than they had in previous seasons, so that's the only thing that. You know, if they got and cut his storyline out, season four would have been the best. But no, I think with the
standing for Stannis on the chat here.
I'm sorry.
They're really excited. That's one of their favorite characters.
Really?
Stannis is their favorite character?
Yeah, they're really like, they really say that that's their favorite character. They're not happy about our
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I think, I think Stannis has his good points, but he's not my favorite. I think he, you know,
that comment. It was just like, he's okay.
He's just not
okay. But he sucks.
Yes.
No. But you know what?
Characters are Brienne and Jaime, and nobody said that because their interactions are pretty dope, especially in the books.
Yeah,
like their fight.
Jaime is. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say like their fight scenes, like in the book and online. On this show are like great, and then like their whole interaction, like just the books definitely went into more detail, but like on. The show, like, you can really see, like, Jaime, like, grow as a character as well. So I think they're doing a pretty good job with that interpretation. Like, you grow to like
I think
more.
Jaime's going to be the next great character that we see, you know, really come alive in the show. Because he had that new disadvantage of, you know, no hand and his perspective and the way that he looks at things is really changing, the way that people treat him is changing and all that, and so he's going to get a little bit of, you know, what Tyrion, you know, has lived with and things like that, and I think that's really going to inform his character, and it makes him better, and that's who I'm looking forward to see in the next season, exactly what they do and how he manifests next season.
Yeah,
I
the dynamic.
What goes on with, between him and Cesar, and knowing that she has to get married to a homeboy now. What's going to go on between those two?
Oh, you mean Cersei and, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, Jamie and Jamie's sister. How they're supposed to get married and everything. Yeah, when he came back, she was like, "Oh my God, you're here!" But then saw his hand like, "What the heck happened to you?"
Exactly, and you know, I think that whole side of her character, because Jamie has always been so influenced by his sister and everything. A lot of what Jamie has done because of how he feels about his sister, and you know, all of these things. And when he sees just who she really is, you know, just the fact that he's missing his hand and how her attitude and everything towards him changes, you know, because of that, that's going to really help him that's going to be a big part of his growth too, I believe.
Is there any sort of romantic link between Brienne and Jamie in the books? Am I the only person that thinks that there's possibly like a romantic link between the two of them, or am I just sort of going out on a
limb?
In the book?
Because I want that. I kind of feel like that's happening. It feels like there's some sort of romantic connection, but I mean, I could be just, it could be a pipe dream for me, because I think it would be nice to see them together. I really do.
And there was like a hot second where Jamie was like toying with it, but there's always Cersei. Like, there's no one in his mind except for Cersei. Like, there's some kind of deep, twisted connection between the two of them. Like, he can't he can't quit her. So there was a moment. Like, you're not misinterpreting that at all. Like,
no,
there was
something
there in the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
The name. And I think, like when I said, there is that dynamic, but I think over time, and none of this has been written yet, but over time, you know, I think as Cersei, you know, the reality of who Cersei is revealed to Jaime, that might change. I think something with him and Brienne might change later on and all that, because he, you know, I think he's becoming less superficial. He's, you know, really starting to see people and understand limitations, what they are, and things like that. And I think as he grows, there might be more of that going on. And I think, you know, him realizing who Cersei really is going to be a, you know, a major part of that.
Who would you guys say is the worst character on the show, and why?
Joffrey.
Joffrey. Let's see.
We all agree with that one, Joffrey, King Joffrey, and that's
You mean like the worst person? There's nobody worse than Joffrey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joffrey for no reason.
No,
maybe
Sansa,
that red
like,
witch girl.
Sansa.
Sansa's definitely worse than Joffrey, because Sansa was first season, first book. First interaction with Joffrey, she was so hyped to be the queen and in love with Joffrey in her mind that she was like, yeah, we'll just let the direwolf die, we'll lie on my sister, we'll just do all this crazy stuff. And then she ended up paying the price for it. And she was just always weak, always has been weak, and is weak throughout the whole series. Like, she is worse. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't corrupted. She was raised right, and she still acted in a, like, Joffrey was raised wrong. Like, you can't blame him for Cersei raising him to be crazy and to be the child of incest. Like, he's already off. But Sansa was raised, like, well and had morals and everything. And she's just so,
I give Sansa a break, honestly, because I think she's just naive. And she's, like, you know, growing up in this whole fairy tale idea in her mind. And she's just very silly, you know, and sometimes we've seen young girls do the stupidest things for, you know, some boy that they swear they're in love with. And I think that's just where she was and has done a lot of, you know, foolish things. And she's seeing the error of that, you know, and she is paying the price for it. And I don't know, I just kind of, I'm inclined to give Sansa a little bit of a break, you know, and kind of hope that as the series goes on that she'll grow. And even though, you know, she, and like I said, I don't think she's necessarily that weak. I think she's just slow, you know.
And naive.
Scared and naive, you know. I think she's, you know, she's in this place. She's surrounded by enemies, you know. She's, as far as she knows, she's the only Stark in existence at this point, you know, and so she has to survive. And she's never had to really do that before. She's having to learn on her feet, which she's not good at. And so she's got a lot of limitations character-wise. And it's going to be a harder role for her to overcome it. And I think when she does overcome it, that she's going to be a great character.
On Twitter, Jay Gatsby asks, no Theon talk? Okay. We'll talk about Theon.
Who, Theon?
Theon,
oh
yeah.
I mean, you know.
Poor guy.
Oh,
poor guy. The way he went out is just. Really,
I'll say this. Haven't seen the worst of what happened to Theon yet. Oh, my gosh. Theon is the one that I said from the beginning. I dreaded seeing exactly what he goes through because he is you know, he definitely becomes a sympathetic character and all of that, but he it's something I don't even like to think about, you know, because it's the person that he's with. I can't try to remember if they even revealed who he is in the show yet. But that guy is now. Yeah, let's think about Joffrey. That's who I was thinking about when you said who's the worst character on the show. Joffrey is. Meek little puppy compared to this person. You know, when he is revealed as what he is, Joffrey is nothing, because Joffrey is a lot of entitlement and talk and, you know, bluster for a
That's
good
true.
Bit of it and everything. But but this guy is really a sadistic monster, you know, the fact that he can carry out what he carries out. And yeah, so once we get, you know, intimately acquainted with him, we'll see that this is the real monster in the show.
His name starts with a B. It's something. I forget what it is. His name does start with a B. Yeah, that's definitely a freak in nature right there.
Who?
The guy that's torturing Theon right now.
Bruce Bolton?
No, yeah. See, Bruce Bolton is his father. This is
Ramsey.
This is
Ramsey.
Yeah,
Ramsey.
Is Ramsey.
Ramsey.
Yeah,
Ramsey. Is,
Ramsey.
I like Ramsey. Yeah.
You like Ramsey?
I do.
Oh. I think Ramsey's sick. Oh my
Ramsey
gosh,
Ramsey puts Joffrey to shame. Like
he does exactly.
He puts Joffrey to shame. Like for real. Like he's like a real thug.
Yeah, he was sadistic.
Going to say who likes the heavyset dude, Snow's friend?
Oh, Samwell Tarly.
Yeah.
Sam.
I gotta give Sam props because I thought he was gonna get it at the end of season one or the beginning of season two.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I thought he was gonna get it, so I was just like, eh. And
well, I guess now that Jon Snow is back, I guess he'll join the Night's Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Nightman's Watch. So it'll be interesting to see those two together again.
Mm-hmm. I think Sam's a soldier, you know. I think he really, you know, he's just like any of the other characters who they have to kind of overcome a lot of things and all that, just from where he's from and the way he's been treated and all those other things, and he is learning as he goes, but he seems like a coward on the outside, but I think this season revealed that he's not, you know. He's got a lot of bravery and courage there that just kind of had to be pulled out of him, and he's just a little goofy on top of it, you know. But
yeah,
he's definitely, yeah, you know, he's I think he's one of the, he's actually one of the great characters on the show, if you ask me. He's one of the great characters. He's just, you know, more, he's not as, what's the word I'm looking for, wild, you know. He wants everything to be okay.
What are your thoughts about the final scene in season 3? It was sort of controversial. I know in Black Twitter it was controversial about Khaleesi sort of being led by a large people, all of a color.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some sort of racial context there, or is it just not really that big of a deal? Or is it really not that serious? And people are just being
oversensitive. It's not that serious.
Yeah.
It's a same old with Hollywood, I guess, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
you just see that a lot of times. You just see, like, but you know, we're R.L. Martin, I mean, if he was
mm-hmm.
a black author, probably
yeah.
certain characters would be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have different ethnicities and stuff, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
he writes from a white author's point of view a lot of times, I'm sure.
Thank you, brother. That's exactly where I always am when it comes to things like this. When you look at the writers, I don't ever expect a writer, an author, to be able to express anything from a perspective that they don't understand or that they've never had to, you know, experience and all of that. So you kind of have to take it, you know, where it is and where they're coming from. And, you know, I guess with a grain of salt, because I can't be offended at everything, because for the most part, they probably don't even realize they're offending anyone. You know?
Right.
This is the thing. Like,
I mean, tell them, though.
Whitewash the books, because in the books there were people of different races throughout the entire show. They had two
yeah.
black women that were merged into the one white prostitute that
that's definitely true. Roz,
Tyrion, King's Landing. There were black people
mm-hmm.
that were supposed to be at Harrenhal. There was all
mm-hmm.
kinds of, you know, people that of color that were supposed to be
mm-hmm.
throughout the show. HBO whitewashed it. So then all of a sudden at the end of the show, they're like, oh, look, here's all the colored people. And then people are like, wait a second, she's freeing all these, you know, people of
mm-hmm.
color. So it seemed like really a big
mm-hmm.
juxtaposition because of how they changed the show and the characters and the casting. So everybody was like, whoa, what happened? Where's this
yeah.
coming from? If they had done it
That's
the right way, it would not have been that shocking to people that have been watching all of the previous
mm-hmm.
two and a half seasons or 2 and 3/4 seasons, because they changed so much. So it's like if they had
mm-hmm.
cast it the right way, just like with this Oberyn Martell casting, if they had done it the right way, people wouldn't be so shocked when they're finally like, oh, well, we'll do this part right because we got to have the slaves
mm-hmm.
the right color. It's like, well, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How you want to be
mm-hmm.
correct and stick to the books? Okay. So
that's true.
That's true.
I think it is a kind of a shot to the system. Yeah.
I think that's what Hollywood does, and it should be something that is addressed, but
mm-hmm.
should you let it make you angry, or should you feed into negative feelings and stuff like that? I think it's more important to address it. Let somebody
mm-hmm.
know what you think about it, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, continue to work on your own creative projects that
mm-hmm.
may correct those particular things. And if you ever do get signed on for HBO to do your series, you let them know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well,
but,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I agree with him. I think we'd have a lot less of this kind of stuff going on if there were just more of us in the industry
mm-hmm.
that could inform them, you know. And so I think that's one of the big losses that we take when there's not enough diversity, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Well, we are gearing up towards the end of the show. I just want to say thank you to all of you that have participated in this chat. Thanks to everybody on Twitter. Thanks to our great co-hosts, Geek Soul Brother, Polly Math Chick, Renee Mooses, Black Double Nerd, Thank you guys for being a part of this podcast. I really appreciate it. Next week, Sunday, 7 o'clock, we will have guest Sherry L. Smith, who is the author of Orleans. She is going to join us with a live tweet discussion about her book. So join us, all the members of the Blurred Book Club. Definitely tune into that one. We're going to use the hashtag Blurred Book Club. And Cynthia Lannell, which is she's Unicorns and Glitter on Twitter, she's going to be hosting that show with me that night. So tune in next week, 7 o'clock, Sunday night. And thanks, guys. This was fun. We should do this again.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
No problem. Thank you, too.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.